Welcome to AlleyCast, where we talk all things business, body image, mindset, and more. If it's juicy, we're talking about it, baby. Let's dive right in.
For me, it really started not as a business, but more just like personally dealing with a lot of skin issues ever since I was a teenager and seeing my older sister deal with a lot of acne before I experienced it myself. And having it just be this like really big thing in our lives. I was like, oh, we can't, you know, wear this prom dress because we need something high back, or, you know, we're dealing with this medication and it's making your face like peel or sting or whatever it was. And it's just such a big like topic for us. The two of us just dealing with it pretty significantly. And so that was something that, you know, I kind of knew was coming as a teenager. And then really hit me, you know, I went to college when I was 17 and like, you're still pretty young and you're in that time period where you're like, you're still growing. And then it really hit me when I was in college and graduating. And so basically, you know, had really severe hormonal cystic acne and, you know, had gone to the dermatologist, been put on so many different prescriptions throughout that time period, but really consistently used Duac, Differin, antibiotics, spironolactone, a lot of medication, and went on birth control, not for any other reason besides my skin. And that was ortho-tricycline low, because that was, you know, deemed to be good for people with acne. And so I was just on this whole suite of medications as a young woman. And as a result, like because of that and taking antibiotics for 3 years every day, you know, and spironolactone really made me nauseous. I had gut issues. I just remember like I would be working in finance and getting like a happy hour, like one or half glass of wine, and just like feel so nauseous and just knew that things were not normal internally. But didn't really put it together because I had been prescribed these medications for my skin and had no assumption that it had anything to do with my gut or anything. Obviously, since then, there's been so much education about the gut and living bacteria and the necessary, you know, microbiotic activity that is correlated between your gut and your skin. But back then, this is, you know, 12 years ago, there was none of that. And so I was in college and basically just like really struggling. And then, you know, graduated. And like I said, I'm still dealing with this and working in finance. I was working like, you know, 16-hour days. I've always had like really crazy jobs where I've worked really hard. And work really long hours pretty much my whole life. And I was like still dealing with this, and it would be crazy because every day I'd basically have to wake up and like I would put on my skincare, which was Cetaphil at that time, Clinique and Cetaphil, and I would put them on in the dark because when I would put the Cetaphil on, it would sting my face so badly because my face was so sensitive. It became so sensitive that I'd have to put it on the dark because the light would bother my eyes and it would be, my eyes would water if I was in a room with like daylight or light. And it was just such a miserable experience. My face would sting for a couple minutes, like really badly. And then it would be red for like 10 minutes. And then basically what I would do is I'd just take foundation with a brush, liquid foundation, and just like quote unquote, what I would call paint my face. Yeah. And then I would basically get out the door, you know, and this is at like 7 a.m. And then I would bring this like ginormous makeup pouch with me during the day. And I would sometimes do that process all over again at work in the middle of the day, because I felt like my makeup was breaking me out. And it was just like a very miserable process for me, because I remember, you know, going on overnight trips with my friends or, you know, dating and just feeling like I had to do this crazy thing and couldn't be without my foundation and makeup ever. And I just had this like really big mental impact from, you know, having so many skin issues. And so eventually some of the stomach and gut issues became more serious. And I realized in terms of just impacting my day-to-day, like ability to feel comfortable and eat normally and be able to digest food. And so I ended up, you know, going, and my parents had no idea that my sister and I were both on antibiotics. Like, they just thought that my mom has like no experience with acne. And she just thought that, you know, it was the skin medication. She had no idea what it was. And so basically, you know, once they found that out, my mom like made us quit all medication and was like, couldn't believe that we are on antibiotics for like 3 years. And basically through that process, I started discovering like really amazing ingredients to eat mostly. And it's because I've always been like a super DIY person of just like making my own clothes or making my own food, like everything. I just like to very like crafty since I was young. I would end up like making my own skincare using really simple recipes that I would find like in some obscure place somewhere on the internet that was like very hippie at that time to even talk about oils and stuff like that. And then so through that time period, I just really did that for myself. And I tried oils. I tried, you know, steaming my own rose hydrosol for the first time. My skin didn't sting. It immediately, like literally in one day, it just like, I realized it didn't sting. And I was like, this is like pretty crazy. And from there, it just like my skin felt so much softer every day. And so that kind of just like got me really into it, but more from a personal side of like, I need this for my own skin.
Were you nervous about the oils? Cause I feel like that wasn't really, you know, prior to, I feel like this new wave of sort of, you know, oil-based cleansing and all this stuff. Like, were you, I don't know, at that point, I felt like everything was oil-free. Like, was that a thought in your mind, or were you like, I don't care, I'll do anything?
Like, yeah. It was kind of, at that point it was like, F it, like I have nothing to lose. You know, I knew that like it was almost like so counterintuitive that it was exciting to me. I was like, sure, why not? You know, I was like, might as well try something. And like, this could be a disaster, but I also have nothing to lose because I break out still a ton. And like, it's not like what I'm doing right now is like working for me either. So might as well try something. And it was almost just like so opposite of what I had been trained to do that. Like it, like I said, it was just like kind of like exciting. Like, let's just try it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I resonate so much. First of all, thank you for sharing that whole journey. I mean, I resonate with that a lot. I went on Accutane, when was that? 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe, which was brutal and just annihilated my whole gut, I'm sure. And, you know, I really got to this place. I resonate what you were saying with like, you know, being at a sleepover or, you know, for me, it was in college. Like, I remember just looking at my girlfriends that would just roll out of bed, you know, no makeup on. And I was like, I want that so bad. Like, and I just like, as soon as I woke up, the first thing I did was wash my face and put makeup on because I was like, just to like have people see me. Right. And it was exhausting, or sleeping over at, you know, a guy's house and like waking up and being like, I need to get out of here. Like, I have no makeup on. And I feel that so much. And so I want to talk a little bit about, you know, just the, I guess like it's so related to mental health, right? Like, we think of skincare, we think of beauty. And I think the first thing that I think of is like, you know, oh, superficial or, you know, kind of a nice to have. But for me, you know, skincare really is so tied to mental health. And so I love how you guys, you know, did the whole campaign with, you know, showing women with real skin and, you know, and not this airbrushed kind of, you know, stuff that isn't relatable and isn't real. So like, how do you kind of weave that into your messaging? Cause I see that a lot on, you know, your social channels and everything, just everything you guys do is very approachable and, just making, you know, acne and making normal skin normal.
Yeah. I mean, I think it starts with like, just my experience, like that is so authentic to CocoKind, right? Like it started, this whole company started from this like massive insecurity of mine. And so, and feeling like you said, really alone. Like I vividly remember just like looking at my friend's skin and being so jealous, right? Like it's so not fair. And like feeling like it was just like, you know, even like the idea of like going to a daytime party versus a nighttime party. Like I, you know, just like having that even come into your head, like, but my skin, you know, like I don't want my skin to be out there in the daytime. Like nighttime in the dark is better. It's like, it's sad. And it's just ridiculous. But that's how a lot of times when people deal with things like acne or other, so many other skin quote unquote issues, you know, that is what you think that people see in you. And so, and then more than that, it's like all the beauty standards, all the beauty companies that were started by celebrities or people who look or could be celebrities. You know, that I think was really hard too, because it just made you feel like there's literally no one around you that also has acne or also has issues. And it's very abnormal. And when you talk about normal skin versus abnormal skin, like, you're definitely abnormal, you know? And so I think that the whole, like, how we talk about this is just so innate to who we are, because of that experience of mine. And really, I didn't even think, like, have the desire to start a skincare company because of that insecurity of just feeling like I wasn't going to look like a typical founder. I still like had breakouts and stuff like that. And I didn't want people like judging my skin. It still happened, you know, all the time. And I wasn't, 5 years ago when I started the company, I wasn't like comfortable in my skin yet. Like, it was this thing that like I really believed in physically and like used every day and was so excited to put out there. But I convinced myself to start Kokine because I said that I could be the business person behind the brand and it didn't have to be out there. That's literally how I convinced myself. And so, yeah, so, you know, that was just, it was a really big insecurity of mine. And so I think when we think about talking to our consumers these days, like, the ultimate thing that we always care about is like, we never want to be a place where she feels like she has to change, she or he feels like they have to change to be who they are, or have to cover themselves to walk out of the door. We want them to come to our channels, whether it's our website or Instagram or using our products or wherever, however they interact with Kokine. We want them to be like, okay, like, I actually like being me and I feel comfortable being me. And this is a company that like gives me the space to do so, which is pretty rare.
Yeah, that is so powerful. I love that. Cause I mean, a lot of times I see these, yeah, celebrity endorsed products and stuff. And I'm like, you know, there's this disconnect, right? Cause you look at them and you're like, they like, first of all, airbrushing. Yeah. Second of all, plastic surgery. Like, yeah, you're just like, I'm never going to look like that. Totally. And I think, you know, even social media, it's like one step more, you know, one step beyond that, because it's like you see all these, you know, girl next door type Instagram models and everyone is airbrushing and face tuning and doing all this stuff. And like, you know, it's not in a magazine. So you feel like, oh, is that what I'm supposed to look like too? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I love how you guys, you know, and I think your vulnerability and your, you know, insecurity around that is actually what makes, you know, you even more approachable and more relatable to people, because, you know, they're seeing that and feeling like, okay, like, you know, if she's still breaking out, like, I'm not the weird one, or I'm not broken or wrong or anything like that. So I think that's huge. But I want to shift to, I guess this, you know, we hear this concept of clean beauty, but really, I mean, what is clean beauty at like its core for someone who's kind of new or hearing that term? Cause I know that's kind of thrown around a lot. But what's like your definition of that?
Yeah. So clean beauty to me means using high quality, non-toxic ingredients, that are sustainable. And packaging that's sustainable as well. So I think it's really, it's plain and simple.
Okay, cool. And so do you think clean beauty is something that's, you know, for every skin type? Is it just, you know, people that maybe, I don't know, because my first thought, as we mentioned before, is like, you know, the whole oil-free movement, right? But like 10 years ago, now it seems like more people are shifting to, you know, being oil friendly or whatever, but are, you know, is clean beauty really for any sort of skin type, or is it just certain ones? Okay.
It is for every skin type. I think, we very much believe in like the power of the ingredients that we use. And it's been an interesting evolution because we started with a primarily like oil, or single ingredient line. And we still have those products, but we've also evolved to being more of like a mass friendly using emulsion type of formulas that are, you know, more typical to like, they look and feel like a Cetaphil, but they're totally different ingredients. Right. And so, I think that that's been a definitely a path for us. And through that path, really come to get behind so many different alternatives to what we're currently using and in the traditional skincare space and understand the power of those. So I definitely believe in those, the science and the innovation happening in the more non-toxic, clean space than ever before. And there's a lot of work that's been done over the last 5 years. So I do believe that it can cover every skin type. And it's not just for people who, you know, have perfect skin or problematic skin. I think it's really for everybody and everybody in between those ranges as well.
Yeah. What was, I mean, so going back to your skin journey, what was really the main thing that helped you start to heal that? Was it, you know, focusing on your gut and your diet, like you mentioned, or was it just sort of, you know, stopping using products that were really like stripping your skin and using more nourishing things? Like what was kind of, I guess, like the first step you took when you really hit like, I don't know, quote unquote rock bottom?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was so much, I think everything included, but the first thing was using different skincare products. For me, like, you know, even today, like I always say that I really feel that lifestyle and diet and your habits are like 95% of skincare, but it's really hard to change that actually. And like, for me, it's like, I'm never going to be somebody who like only eats whole foods or, you know, things like that.
Right.
I definitely have learned and through the understanding of like my current health situation, like I've tried to like definitely pay more attention to that and eating less sugar and all that stuff. And all that stuff is so good for your skin. It's just not, it's not realistic for everybody. And I don't want to live my life like that anyways. But at the same time, you know, skincare is only 5% of that, but skincare is a little bit easier to switch, what you're consuming, topically than the decisions you make in terms of how much sleep you get and what you're eating with every meal and how much sugar intake you have and everything, you know, of that nature. So for me, it was a lot easier to change what I was applying to my skin. But it actually turned out to be pretty significant for me as well. But of course, over the years, just being really mindful about the connectivity between your gut and your skin is super important. And so I've definitely made adjustments there to just be a little bit more mindful. But now it's more of like, it's just, I try to live like that, but I also try not to put so much standards on myself either. And so I'm a little bit more sensitive to like the food things, and like, I'm more regimented with my skincare.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, if none of us ate sugar, you know, at all, like we, we look like J-Lo, but you know.
And some people who, you know, would cut out dairy, sugar, everything in between, are still going to break out, you know, because it's genetic and there's nothing wrong with that. And the, you know, people, it's frustrating when that is like this thing that it's like, yeah, do this and you'll have this like perfect solution. Because in reality, it's like lifestyle, it's genetics, it's what you eat, it's everything. And so, and just because you're breaking out doesn't mean that you're unhealthy either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I want to talk about your products being so affordable, which is probably the best thing about them and just what caught my attention immediately. I think skincare, for some reason, everything is so overpriced seemingly. Mm-hmm. I guess like my first question is just that, like why is that? Like why are most beauty products so expensive? Is it just that, I guess that's been, you know, the standard in the past, or, you know, they try to maintain really high margins, or is it expensive to make those products? Like, what do you think is the reason that that's just been the way it is?
Yeah. I mean, beauty is a high margin category. We benefit from that as well. Like our products are higher margin than food products or your products probably, you know, it's just like, it's just a higher margin category. So I think the first thing is that, yeah, there's been this conditioning in consumers' heads because of this desperation effect in the beauty industry. Like if you charge more, it's deemed a higher quality product. And so that's like the number one thing we try to fight against is that, and I think we do successfully because we use really high, the same extremely high quality ingredients, if not higher. And we're charging, you know, a third of the price a lot of the times. And so it's just something that like, we are still a high margin business. We are still able to make money and we have really high quality formulas. We do make decisions. For instance, we don't, we're not going to do like custom mold containers and things like that. We do try to keep our packaging costs to be minimal as long as they're meeting our sustainability requirements. But beyond that, we don't try to put too much excess cost into the packaging, and we put more of the cost into the formula and the development itself. So So when you make conscious decisions like that, you can definitely have like a really accessible price point that is more fair to consumers, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so refreshing, honestly. Because I remember when I was going through my, you know, skincare drama, it was like my dermatologist was recommending all this stuff. And I was like, I was in college. Like, I can't afford that. Right. Mm-hmm. And I just wish that you guys were around when I was really struggling, but I'm glad you're here. Mm-hmm. So I want to touch on the product development. I'm just selfishly very interested. Like, how do you decide what ingredients you use? I mean, what does that process look like? Obviously without delving into like trade secrets and stuff. Just take us through kind of like high level, you know, start to finish when you like think of an idea to kind of how, you know, it arrives in someone's shopping cart.
Yeah. So we try to do this balance between giving customers what they've like really been asking us for and waited for a long time and just keep emailing us and asking us on social for, with things that are they are not asking us for, that are just new. And we're either testing a new category or trying to do something exciting. We're just excited. I'm excited about a personal passion and direction. So it's kind of a mix of both. So this year was like very much that so far. So we've launched our celery-based products, which are a pore-focused product, as well as a cream using celery. And then we launched a mask with Jeanette from Shut the Kale Up. We also launched beauty beverages, which is just a personal passion of mine because I'm like such a beverage freak. I always have beverages and I've been mixing these bases together for so long. And so that's been like very representative. And then we have like SPF that we launched, which is like people have been asking us for years and years. So it's like a couple of things. Like, we want to make sure our skincare line is as functional as possible. So before, we didn't have a cream, for instance. And it's like, yeah, we should probably have a cream as a skincare company. So we probably want to have a cream for people who don't want to use an oil. So that made sense. And then the SPF people had been asking us for so many years. When we launched our product with Jeanette, we actually didn't have
one.
Yeah, it's great. And we actually didn't have a mask before, one that, besides our sleeping mask, but that was ready to use. The chloroform mask you have to make yourself. And so, you know, some people just wanted to be ready to use. And so that was like a great different format that was more convenient for people. So we kind of just like trying to mix it up a little bit. But in terms of ingredients, you know, there's a lot of research that goes into that, and diving in with both our team as well as our chemists, as well as attending like really in-depth like industry shows where we are able to meet with actual like raw material suppliers and talk about what's new, what's really effective, review their clinicals, review their studies, and make sure it's in line with like what we believe in. And you know, there's a big vetting process that goes into that, including like reviewing the toxicity or the potential contaminants or byproducts of the manufacturing of that ingredient, where it's sourced from, who makes it, things like that. And then ultimately we decide to put in our products when it makes sense. And that combines with this being on brand with our current line and being something that people are going to be excited about and understand too.
I love that. That's so cool. Because being in food, you know, that's all I know. So the skincare side of things, but your ingredients, I mean, yeah, using stuff like celery, and it's so cool how it's real, you know. I mean, you feel like you could eat it, probably shouldn't, but, you know, you can pronounce most of the things. Mm-hmm. And I think most skincare ingredients, I look at the label and I'm like, I don't know what half of this shit is. So long chemical names.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really refreshing. Mm-hmm. What product are you most proud of?
I don't know. Every single product has such a story behind it that it's hard for me, like such a story of over the past 5 years of how I developed that or someone on the team developed that and the hardships that it took to like produce it at the end. And so I really truly don't have a product that I'm most proud of because I think every single one has been such a great, whether it was like this bestseller or the worst seller, it's been an incredible learning experience either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Now I have to ask this, kind of wrapping up on time, but what is your daily skincare routine like?
So I have a evolving skincare routine, but I'll tell you like the general categories of steps. So I always cleanse and tone. That's like my, it's just so basic to me. It has to happen. Toning is like not even an option. It's like I will, wherever I am, no matter what, I always tone twice a day. I think it's so, so important for that pH balance. And then I will use, a variety of our booster steps. So for instance, today I used a new serum that I'm testing that we're developing for next year. But then I also used our pore refining concentrate over that. And then I used our eye cream. And then I use all those steps.
No, this is good.
This morning. Then I used our textured smoothing cream with celery. And then I used our watermelon hemp to finish off an oil. And then I used SPF. So I had like a lot of steps. And then of course I use my matcha every day on my lips like a million times. And so I kind of had like a lot of steps today, but that's how it is. I just like, it's just my what
your
I
life. Love. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I love it. Oh my God. You're amazing. Cool. Okay. So thank you so, so much. Where can people find you? I guess, where can they find Coco Kind as well, aside from just everywhere?
CocoKind.com on Instagram, CocoKind, obviously, Priscilla.Sai for me. We're also found at Target and Whole Foods and Ulta.com as well.
Awesome. Thank you. This is so fun.